And you can be seated.
That is a great old song that I remember singing as a newer believer in our singing church down in Taylor, Allen Road. Used to love to sing that one loud. Well, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10. Best messages to preach are on Easter. Wonderful message, wonderful truth, wonderful gift that we get to share about and just celebrate today. It's a time that is rich with meaning. And if you don't have a Bible with you, feel free to grab one from the seat back underneath in front of you. John will be the fourth book in the New Testament, so towards the maybe three quarters through the Bible there. But Easter is just a holiday that is just rich with traditions, rich with meaning, family time that is shared together, the hope that it brings. It's just a wonderful time. Year after year, right? Easter, we celebrate it. There's something so valuable to us in our lives about that permanence that every year Easter comes and we celebrate it, right? You know, sometimes the things that happen around us, of course, the fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral, I guess I was looking it up. How many people visit this cathedral every year? Like 12 million people. That's a lot of people. There's something about these places, these things that we can see, feel, and touch that just anchor themselves in our souls, and they become something that's deeply meaningful. And when something like this happens, the fire that happened there in the cathedral, it kind of rocks our world. Something that was just has some permanence. It's always there. It's been there for 750 years. And we contrast this, it's always there, it's always going to be there, with all of a sudden, you know, the seeming irrevocable loss. They thought the whole thing was going to burn down. You know, thankfully it did not. But it kind of shocks us. You know, you see the symbol of the church, the spire, the cross, it's been standing there on the skyline for centuries, just falling down, and it startles us, you know, to see, you know, that place where that was a place of, you know, when you go into places like this, sometimes there's just this holy hush of awe. And it's turned into rubble, and it shocks us. It feels like our foundation is shaken sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes, kind of like the loss of a loved one, it rocks our world, or a devastating diagnosis, and we're just like, whoa. Life, maybe that felt expected and solid and sure, all of a sudden becomes very unsure, and it causes fear. It causes us to be anxious and worry. It can cause us to doubt. We start the things that were always there are just like, what happened? Until we remember that we were never meant to put our hope in things that don't last. We were meant to hope in what is eternal. We were meant to hope in things that do last, things that have eternal meaning. So, this is a little bit what our message is about today. Let's stand as we are going to read the word together for ourselves. And see what God has for us on this wonderful Easter Sunday. Let's read together. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10, 9 through 11. Jesus, thank you for your words to us that speak of your heart for us and your plans and your intents and your purposes for our lives, for all of eternity, and for today, too. Thank you for giving us your word and this incredible story of Easter. Help us, God, to hear from you personally. Lord, we all come in with different stories. We all come in with different things going on in our lives. And each one of us, me included, we come saying, I just need to hear from you, God, today. Would you speak into my life, into my heart? I know the answer to that is always yes. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated. Years that building was there, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, surviving wars and kings and Napoleon, and revolutions and all the stuff that France, I mean, lots of history that cathedral has stood through. But it's when you go into a building like that, the hushed awe, the presence of something is not the history of man. It's a thing that causes you to be aware of God. People come, go, histories, nations come and go, but there's this awareness of the reality of God. The brick and mortar and art and all those things, they remind us how beautiful God is and what a God that we worship. It just lifts our eyes upward. That's why most often churches have high ceilings. It gives us space to just look upwards without having something there, right? That church represented something much bigger, something beyond us. And I get that. I understand what things matter, the places matter. This next slide is a picture I mentioned, Allen Road Church. That's the church that I came to faith in Christ in. That's the church my kids grew up in. And they have a new pastor, Pastor Dave and his wife, Catherine. I'm thrilled that they are serving there. They're a wonderful, godly couple. I'm excited that God is doing a work there. It's not a particularly awesome-looking building. It doesn't look like Notre Dame, right? But it's not the building, is it? It's the things that went on in the building. It's the people. It's the life that happened in that building that make that building a meaningful place for me. When I go back there, I just take in the sights and the smells. Every building has its own smell. You come in and go, oh, this is the different places that you look and remember this happened and that person. It takes on meaning. It's a place where my faith became new. And I began walking in a relationship with Jesus that I had no idea of before that. I never knew that it was possible to actually not just go to church and hear somebody else talk about God, But I learned that I could go to church and have my own relationship with God. And my world just opened up wide. Wide. And God just, he gave me a hope for my life that I've walked with ever since. That place means something to me, right? Another place that means something to me. Round City Camp. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's our denomination has a family camp. It runs 10 days every summer. It's right about here in the thumb of Michigan. And we've been going up there for, how old is my son? 30? So I think 30 years. And we have had a cottage stuffed with teenagers and young adults for those 30 years. And it's crazy and wonderful, and we meet with God up there. And I just, it takes on meanings, you know? It takes on meaning for me because of all the things, the life that happened there. It's not the camp. It's the life that happened at the camp. I was going to grab two things from my office, and I forgot. I've got a little bobblehead in my office. It's a little Darth Vader. It says the world's greatest dad. It's from my son Lucas. And I have that because it reminds me of my son. And it's not necessarily befitting a pastor's office. It fits me, though. I've got a little bear that was from Mexico that my daughter gave me. I've never been to Mexico, but my daughter has. And she brought that back for me. And so when I think of these things, I think of the life, the relationships of my family. I wear a ring. I'm not necessarily excited about rings. I don't wear any other ones, but you know what this ring reminds me of? My wife. And the life that we've lived together. Coming up on 32 years. And wouldn't trade her for anybody. And so that's it's not the things. Life's full of things. It's the life and the meaning beyond those things. And Good Friday, we see something that is a picture of Good Friday. What is it? It's the cross. It's the crucifixion. It's what Christ went through for us. That Jesus laid down his life for me. Yeah, you too. But he did this for me. And you can look back at me and say, you know what? He did it for me too. We can all say that the death that he died. 1 John 3:16. Easy ones to remember. We all know John 3:16. For God so gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him will not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's love. He laid down his life for me. The cross is a piece of wood. You know what? If they actually ever found the cross, which they never will, it would be amazing. But you know what? The cross would still just be what? Just a piece of wood. It's the one that laid his hands out and was nailed there. It's the ones that said, I do this for my beloved creation. That's what makes the cross meaningful, right? On Easter, you know, we have the empty cross. It's on our churches. We sing about it in our songs. It identifies who we are. It's the cross is a symbol that says, God loves me. Now, symbols can be separated from Jesus, can't they? Or from whatever the symbols are of. We've seen the cross be used not always for things that Jesus would have been pleased about, right? Yeah. Sometimes was used for the Crusades, to conquer for land and cities. I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind when he was raised up on the cross. But at the same time, we can do things like, we can wear a cross necklace. And it can just be, I can't get it out. Maybe I should take my tie off. You know what? We can wear these, and it can be nothing more than a piece of jewelry. It's almost like taking the Lord's name in vain to just wear it without really even knowing or meaning it. Or it can actually be what it represents, my salvation, what Jesus did for me. Jesus said it this way in our verse. This whole story here of our verse here, when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he who comes to me. He had healed somebody that was born blind. And the Pharisees and Sadducees were saying, this can't be real. How could he have done this? You must not have been born blind. And the guy is saying, look, all I know is I once was blind, but now I see, right? He says, you can make of that whatever you want, but he's the guy who did it, right? And they couldn't wrap their minds around that. And they said, Jesus, are we blind? Can we not see this? And he's like, and then he began to tell this whole story about the shepherd and the sheep. And he called himself the sheep gate. He said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That's the thing about Easter. It comes up every year. It's this simple, clear way to God. He didn't leave it kind of veiled. He didn't kind of mix it up into a bunch of different religions and say, you know, it's one of those. Just follow any one of those and you're good. I know I'm going to die on the cross here, but other ones are fine too. No, he said, I am the what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the gate. Those who come to me, they know my voice, and they hear my voice, they come to me. And he said, the gate was the thing that protected the sheep. Put the sheep in the pen, the shepherd would stand watch, but the sheep would be kept in a safe place. Jesus is the one that keeps us safe. And there's something so vital about the simple permanence. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the way. Scripture tells us it's a narrow road, but it's a clear one. And it leads to life. So that empty cross, it's a simple story of the love of God who loved his wayward children, his wayward people, in all their sin so much that he would come and give his life, purchase their pardon, and do for them what they could not do for themselves. And purchase for them not only a relationship eternally in heaven, but when does that relationship start? Yeah, the minute you put your faith in him, he says, you are my child. I will now dwell in you and walk with you. That was my first decision for Christ when I finally invited him in and began walking with him. All of a sudden I was like, I'm not alone. I don't have to figure this weird, crazy life that I'm having trouble with on my own. God is going to walk with me. It's a powerful thing. The empty cross means love. It means God's love. It points to God's love for you. And that another symbol, the empty grave, right? The empty grave. Um, It means what? Jesus is alive. He's no longer there. He's no longer there. He actually, literally took his life up and rose from the dead. What nobody else, what no other human could do. But because he was something more than human, he said, by my own authority, I lay my own life down and I take my life back up. We're all subject to fear in different ways. Whether it is pain we are fearful of, discomfort in life, rejection, sickness, simply being alone. Loneliness is something we're afraid of, and that's because we're created in God's image as relational beings. Ultimately, what we are most fearful of is death. And whether it be by accident, by disease, by violence, or by age, it's something that we all struggle with, ultimately. And the Good Shepherd says, I'm alive. I'm with you. I will never leave you. I came that we might have life and life together. And not just average everyday life. He said life abundantly, life to the full. Look how he describes it. They will go in, come in and go out and find pasture. That's just the stuff of life. We need to be able to live life. Pasture for sheep is what? It's where you find something to eat, something to drink. That's the basics of life. That's what sheep need to survive, right? Grass and water. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you, right? That was our verse for our mission. And Jesus is saying it a lot the same way. You know what? I'm the gate. Those who come to me, you'll come in, you'll go out, you'll find pasture. There's a thief out there who seeks to kill and destroy. He's real. And he truly does want to deceive people. He wants to pull them away from Christ. He wants to pull them away from finding Christ in his word. His desire is your demise. He seeks to kill and destroy and deceive. But Jesus said, I am the gate. If you come to me, there is no thief that can come in. There's no one that's going to come in and steal you from me. Jesus said it this way, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have what? Troubles. You will have trials. You will have troubles. But take heart. I've overcome the world. There is a victory that's greater than those things. And Jesus said, I will lay down my life for the sheep. He's already done it. And if he loves you that much, he will lay down his life for you. Now, some people struggle with that idea that, well, if Jesus is going to keep me from harm, why is it that things harm me? Right? And that's a fair question. If God, you know, if Jesus said, you know, you're going to have trials, but I've overcome the world, why am I struggling with problems or an illness or a loss of a loved one? I thought this was going to be something that the enemy wasn't going to be able to get to me. We kind of make it a choice of two things. Either God takes away all my problems from day one to eternity, or he's not going to do anything about me here, and I just have to look forward to that in eternity. And It's not. It's not either one of those. Would you rather have victory over every problem on this earth that comes your way, but fear death in eternity? Or would you rather have a God who walks with you through the trials of this world and have no worry about what happens on the other side? We want both, but God said, it doesn't work that way. You're going to learn how to trust me as I walk with you through the trials of your life. And you will find me faithful. You will find me faithful. The enemy wants to steal and kill and destroy. But there's nothing he's going to do to you that will take you away from me. I have you. You just keep your eyes of faith on me. Trust that I'm going to hang on to you. The victory is won. Amen? Take heart. It's been won. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. And not just life eternal, but life abundant, life to the full. That word, life to the full, that word abundant, it says, it means beyond what is anticipated, beyond what you can imagine, exceeding your expectations. Jesus came to give you that kind of life, a life that is not just, I'm trudging by, I'm getting through. He came to give us overcoming life. Life that's more than enough. Life that goes past what you expected. That's the kind of life Jesus came to give. And when we have that kind of life, it brings me nothing but pleasure to honor the one who gave that life to me. To live my life for the one who gave his life for me. What wouldn't I give for the one that saved me from an eternity separated from God? What wouldn't I give for him? And that's a life that not only we have the opportunity to live, to honor him, to please him, but to tell the whole world. Because we live in a world where there's a lot of people that don't know him, aren't there? There's a lot of people that have no idea what the gospel is, that Jesus came and died and rose again and gives life to those who would simply believe. They don't know. And they struggle to get through life because they're trying to do it on their own. The victory is won for them too. They just need somebody to tell them, right? Well, I'm going to have the worship team come because I just want to close in a song that we can really celebrate about his amazing grace. This is the good news that whatever lies ahead, you know, we all run into stuff that makes us wonder, what's next? You know, I had skin cancer when I was a kid. Every time something shows up, I'm like, that's kind of weird. You start to wonder, right? I start looking at my fingers, and they got these weird bumps on the side of the knuckles. I don't know what that is. Maybe some of you folks can tell me what they are. It's age, right? You know, I'm like, well, that's my fret finger. Is that going to affect me? Am I going to start having problems with arthritis? Well, the doctor just told me I've got arthritis in my back. Man. Folks, I'm getting old. You know what? Welcome. Somebody's saying welcome. Thanks. Hey, you know what? I'm 57, but you know what? That stuff can happen when I'm 27. My hope is in Christ. It's not how comfortable I am, how many things I get to do or not do. My hope is in his grace, his amazing grace that will walk with me through life. I don't have to fear. Amen? You don't have to fear. Amen? Well, he is risen. He is our hope. I think they're getting it. He is our life.
He is our life.
He is our joy.
He is risen.
Amen. Let's stand together and let us celebrate his great and amazing grace.